First item on the agenda is an update on the governor's budget that Slotko and Kurt Sutherland will walk us through. Good news this year, relatively speaking.
Yeah. As we've done in the last couple of years, we've conducted statewide phone calls, sent out a budget memo, and the budget was released a day early by accident. Not any deliberate action of the administration, so that kind of got us scrambling to get the materials ready for you. And we did send out an updated memo that contained an important piece of information that we found out about early this week. But hopefully all of you were able to participate in one of the two phone calls, have looked at the memo in terms of its details, and we'll go over some of those in a moment. But yes, good news. We're looking for better news as we go forward. The $105 million general fund branch reinvestments. At the time that the memo was originally prepared and the phone calls were conducted, we did not know this bit in terms of the governor's direction in his document that says that the budget increase of $100 million to support trial court operations will be allocated using the new workload-based allocation and funding methodology. At the time of the conversation, we did not have that information, and so there was some discussion about what were the options. But in terms of the governor's direction, it's clear that they expect us to build on the good work of this committee and the council in terms of WAFM and using it to move the branch closer to a more equitable funding model. Kurt, do you have any comments at this point?
Just two. In summary of the governor's budget, you might take note that there was several paragraphs that were devoted towards technology, which was certainly encouraging to Judge Herman. So next week we have a budget change proposal that the council is going to act upon, and it deals with case management systems for six courts, as well as a funding request for LANWAN in support of the four courts that had not been part of the 58 on that system. So we're encouraged with the direction that seems to be headed in that way. And in addition to that, with Judge Sherman's approval and Judge Earl's approval, that if the council, in fact, does act on the BCP in a favorable manner, and we think that they will, that we will advance that BCP to the Department of Finance in draft and also to Caltech ahead of the game. The finance letters are due about mid-February, as I recall, so we want to start that dialogue with the Department of Finances and Caltech as soon as we can. So that was encouraging. There's another nuance also in that we had guessed that the governor's budget, as announced on January 9th, actually was going to be relatively conservative, which it was, with the exception maybe of the Department of Education. But there seems to be a different tenor that we're getting from Michael Cohen, in that may not be the end of the discussions in terms of augmentations going forward. So we're hopeful that as we progress through and to the May revise, that if the trend continues, that each month the revenue has been higher than what had been estimated, with just one exception. But so far that's the trend, that will build more pressure on the governor and the legislature to allocate even more funds. So we're very much encouraged, far more than we were last year at this point in time.
And to discuss, I think, which is an important part of the budget, is not only what was presented by the governor last Thursday, but also touch upon the press conference that the chief had the other day, in which the blueprint was unveiled. And I think that's important, that it just, if you haven't had a chance to look at that in detail, I was going to take a few moments to just walk you through what our advocacy will be going forward and how it generally reflects the priorities that were established by the Budget Advisory Committee at the time that it recommended the budget change proposals going forward to the Department of Finance and to the governor. So on the website, there's a nice package here that we can send the link out to so that you do have the materials, and sort of lays out what the chief has laid out as a three-year blueprint for a fully functioning judicial branch. And from the trial court's perspective, the first portion of that really is identified in the materials is the asking for the funding of the WAFM gap, as we've called it. It's what the difference between what WAFM says we should have, what it's calculated out of about $2.6 billion, and what we have to distribute. So when you take that gap, which is about $1.1 billion, and we believe that we still have sort of this issue in flux about local resources, what might be available to cover those costs, we have an estimate of need of $875 million. So that's the trial court's portion of the initial reinvestment. And that, again, is in the materials that were presented to the folks at the press conference. So we build from a WAFM gap. Very different from our prior advocacy efforts because we didn't have a sort of an analytical basis. We were just asking for monies that were taken from us. Whereas now we can stand and say, here's our methodology. Here it's founded on caseload, workload, estimates of time. I think we have a much more solid basis from which we are asking for resources for the trial courts. Next are then what we called other critical funding needs. They encompass the benefits requests, $65 million for the trial courts. We have amounts for a similar increase that the state employees are getting of 2%, so that's also in our request. We again request the funding for the judgeships, facility funding, which was not provided to us in the governor's budget. There was some money, but no general fund support for our facilities. Again, the dependency council, which was something that this body recommended that the council pursue. And then there's other items for the other state judicial entities. So that makes up our overall request over this 3 years. We're asking for in the 14-15 fiscal year of over $600 million, of which the governor reflects $105 million. So there's still obviously a lot of room for us to work. There's been these other concepts of sort of treading water, what it is that would be maybe some conceptual minimum to at least keep the level of effort at a similar level that we've seen in the last couple of years, and that relates to fully funding benefits, ensuring that with the level of effort from, say, what we've been spending our fund balances down is maintained so that we don't see a substantial drop-off. And so the governor, has made some headway there, which is good. But overall, we are asking for a substantial amount of money, but they are analytically based. We have, justification for all the needs, and we think that is important that it be this blueprint. Obviously, there's opportunities to discuss the different aspects of it. Technology is also part of that, as Kurt has discussed. But I think differently from the past, the WAFM really helps give us an analytical basis from which we can argue additional resources for the branch. Were there any questions about the blueprint before we move into some of the more technical aspects of the budget at this juncture? Judge Chouteau.
Just two questions. What's the procedural method for asking for the 2%? How are we pursuing that? Is it just part of a request in the budget, or is it one of the interim requests? And the second thing is, I noticed the sheet you passed out had a $100 million figure and then a $291 million figure on the back.
We'll discuss the $100 million at the end of this conversation. We're right now just sort of walking through the blueprint.
How about the 2%?
The 2% is embedded as part of our overall ask of the $613 million. We have sort of our fundamental reinvestment amount, and then we have additional new funding issues that we need, of which on the blueprint there's a $96 million amount. $31 million of that is related to trial court 2% salary bump. Yes, Judge Walsh.
You may be getting to this, but I think we've developed a number which is simply a break-even number to keep us with last year. And I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party here, but $100 million doesn't get us there, mm-hmm. I think we've determined. So right. I think good news, as Kurt was, if there's augmentation of $100 million, that might be good news. But we can't get there with $100 million. And since this is a public meeting, I just want to be clear. The public understands $100 million doesn't do it.
Right.
$266 has to be a starter just to be in the bad place we were last year. And that's why numbers at $291 or $600 million aren't big. They're just what we need.
Right.
Fair point?
Agree.
Okay. Agreeing, but recall that if you had a chance to see the press conference earlier in the week, with the Chief Justice was quite firm in making that very, very clear. So it's this fine line of, we appreciate the $100 million, but she absolutely underscored the fact that it's not going to be nearly enough. another comment on the 2%. When we saw what was going on with the contracts for collective bargaining in the executive branch earlier in the fiscal year, Zlatko and I had a conference call with our contacts at the Department of Finance, and we're very forthright and upfront with them, letting them know that we will be asking for that 2% augmentation also.
Okay. I wanted to were there any questions about the memo at this point as it's updated as far as any of the technical issues? Josh, good.
Zlatko, the only question I have is this. Do you know if in the governor's budget the budget provides for the increase in retirement and health care costs for the executive and legislative branch, as it usually does? Are we the only branch that's not getting that that in the budget?
The executive branch does provide specific increases and adjustments for health and retirement costs. I'm aware that the UC and the CSU do not get specific adjustments, but there has been the last 2 years, there was an amount included in the budget act for increases to the CSU and the UCs of over $100 million, and there's another amount. My understanding is that they then live within that budget increase and allocate it to what costs they have, which include whatever their retirement and health benefit costs are. I think that that's sort of the approach the Department of Finance is sort of looking at the branch for with its $105 million is here's a pot of money, make it work for your costs.
They would have us take the $67 million out of the $100 million.
Well, they're saying allocate it via WAFM. But it's to – they also have commentary, as you've seen, and as we discussed on the phone calls, about their concerns about how we manage retiree contributions by our employees versus the employer, and them wanting more trial court employees, branch employees, to contribute to the amounts that at least the administration has negotiated with their unions of 8%. We have, you know, in some cases 0 to 8, in some cases other, above that. But they have that as a major policy comment. Yes, Mike Roddy.
Well, Zlatko, that's a great public policy comment, but PEPRA also gives the agencies till 2018 to get there. I mean, we all know that we have to get there, and the fact that they may be a bit ahead of the game is, at this point, kind of so what for me. What's the reaction to the 2018 outlier? I mean, is that get any traction with them that we will get there, but maybe not at the same rate that they do?
You know, what is our reaction to their comment? I mean, well, we need the funding, so we're asking for the resources. You know, clearly, you know, we're not at that position yet, and therefore we need these are real and, you know, material costs for us. So we're continuing advocacy for it. You're right, there is no requirement until 2018 to get to that point. So we're not there. We have real costs. They're saying you need to start moving there now. Yes, Judge Chouteau.
Has there been any discussion that they're dealing with that legislatively? You know, why are they relying on us to bargain it with 58 different courts and counties? They could adopt a statute and take care of it themselves.
Yeah,
why are they blaming us for it?
I don't have a response to that.
It would be an avenue to pursue with them. You know, they want to take care of it. They should.
Good point.
I certainly don't think we're fighting it as the employers.
I'm not sure if the legislature would want to insert themselves statutorily in collective bargaining process. Okay, with that, and clearly that's an important issue, and we're continuing, you know, that discussion with them. In particular, they've made some comments about the number of branch employees that are not paying their share and some estimates of what they might save if we had done that. We think that there's some problems with that. Yes, Mary Beth.
I'll just make this comment because this is kind of bothersome to me that, you know, when you pull one benefit out, it's not really illustrative of what our benefit packages are. And while, you know, maybe we're making a retirement contribution, my employees don't get retiree health. So, you know, it seems to me, you know, you're pulling out one little piece, and it's important to take a look at the packages as a whole. And there are inequities because we all inherited these systems from the counties. We were required to keep the same benefits in place. And certainly in the past 10 years, we've negotiated, you know, some more in some areas and less in other areas. And so we don't all look alike, which is one of the reasons why it's ill-conceived, I think, to look at one benefit only. And I hope that we're pointing out that that's you know, there are inconsistencies between some of ours where the state has a better, mm-hmm. if we pulled one out, the state's benefit program is actually better when you compare those.
That's a fair point. Judge Rick.
And just to follow up on Judge Chateau's comments, I mean, we have the situation because of what Mary Beth said, that we started out through legislation inheriting a retirement system that was established by our local county. And we're also functioning under a set of laws that says we bargain in good faith. And if we all look the same at this point, I would be wondering if we're not colluding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have 58 different courts that are supposed to be bargaining in good faith. How could they expect us not to end up in different places?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John.
I'll just join the voices here. It strikes me that we're getting unfairly beat up in this regard, and that our employees, I'll just speak for our court, our employees haven't gotten a raise for 5 years. They do contribute between 8 and 13% towards their retirement, and they're tired of getting beaten up. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to stand up for our employees to a certain regard and say what the facts on the ground are back to the Department of Finance. And I hope we have a collaborative and aligned message that we're working on to put back, because I don't think they're speaking facts.
Right. And I'd have a discussion with David Yamasaki about collecting sort of some history about where we are and we were a few years ago, and there has been progress, and what the rates are. I think, you know, it's just a policy issue for the administration, and we just need to work through it. So I wanted to turn your attention to page 6 of the materials with regards to the fund conditions, the sort of balance sheet of the improvement fund, which is on the top of page 6, and then on page 7 towards the bottom is the Troxler Trust Fund. Critical line on page 6 is to the far right, just above the Court Interpreters Fund. It says the Reserve for Economic Uncertainties, 180,000. Do you see that 180 in the corner there? What used to be, that's the fund balance as projected for the Improvement and Modernization Fund at the end of next fiscal year. This is a fund we've been talking about both at this level and at the Expenditure and Revenue Subcommittee issue. It's an important fund for our branch in terms of what it pays for, from technology to education to self-help and complex civil litigation program. It is at this current rate, we will be upside down absolutely in 14-15 and 15-16. We did some work of the revenue and expenditure subcommittee in November. We'll have that report later on. But we do need to develop a solution, and in the governor's message, they do talk about this fund and the fact that they see it as the branch technology fund. So we're going to obviously be having some discussions with them. But we also need to establish our priorities as a branch as to what we spend out of those funds. And again, that will be a more robust conversation this afternoon. But $180,000 on $33 million of expenditures is troublesome, to say the least, in terms of managing the fiscal affairs of that fund. One important issue there is that there is the $20 million transfer from the IMF into the trial court trust fund to offset prior cuts, and that does create a strain on the fund, but it also then provides some level of relief from prior cuts to the trial court. So how do we balance and look at the needs of both programs? So that is a critical issue. When we turn to page 7, when we look at the trial court trust fund, you know, its revenues have declined. If you see on the next page, page 8, the revenues that come in, we were at, in 12-13 fiscal year, we were at $1.5 billion. 13-14, 14-15, we project about $80 million less. We have revenues across the board in terms of the flows into the Troxler Trust Fund declining, and that has obviously put a squeeze on our budget. And we go from a high fund balance there at the middle of the page of $82 million down to a projected $5 million, again, on $1.5 billion of expenditures. That is a nightmarishly low number. So there are concerns about that. And one of the first issues that we'll have to confront is the fact that the council had funded benefits in the current year out of the trial court trust fund, these benefits that were not funded by the state to the tune of $29 million, given the expenditures that we have for our sort of base allocations and other programs, we will not be able to afford those benefit payments again in the 14-15 fiscal year. We were able to make them at this point on a one-time basis, but we cannot, given the current revenues and expenditures, continue that $29 million. That is a, you know, another hit, and that's why we include that in our $65 million benefit request that we did manage to cover it for 1 year, and that was what the Department of Finance's expectations were, but we cannot continue to cover those costs out of the trial court trust fund. So that is a significant cost pressure for the 14-15 fiscal year. Are there any questions about that? These are sort of ongoing updates. We're hopeful that the revenues can, we're seeing them sort of bottom out, and we'd hope to see an uptick in those revenues. But you all well know, there have been fewer law enforcement on the street, and therefore the revenues from those fines and penalties are lower levels than it had been in the past. So you're seeing that all locally as well. We see the same sort of changes here at the state level. Is there any questions before we move on to the special display that is different in the governor's budget this year? All right, very good. On page 9 is the budget includes not just information about, say, the level of appropriation, the programs that it comes from, but they can include supplemental information, things, and I've pointed to in the past when I was a budget analyst and I had the Department of Corrections, we used to put in caseload data, number of dental visits, number of mental health visits, number of inmates by different kind of classifications, just to give some illustration of what's going on in that particular program. Page 9 is one of those types of charts in which there was an effort 4 years ago by the legislature to provide additional information about how funds are spent in the branch. And this chart used to just be 2 years of expenditures as reported in your Schedule 1s. But it did not include sort of the total split between what is state funding and non-state funding. So the Department of Finance worked with staff, and we had some conversations with Mary Beth and David about this. They wanted to provide a bit more information, and so they've included also filled positions as of the end of the 12th or the beginning of the 12th fiscal year and the 13th fiscal year. So it's a little bit of a more information, but it's all information that's already available on our public website. We want to just alert you, because if there are questions as to why it's different, it's just the Department of Finance wanted to change a little bit about adding the position counts on that and to break down sort of all of the state funding that goes there. That's why there is a top section that's trial court and then any of the other expenditures from the trial court trust fund for sort of statewide issues. So, again, it's not... We just want to alert you that there may be questions coming to you that you say, well, where did this come from? This is new. This is sort of an augmented level of information from the prior displays, but it's all based on the information that you courts provide via your Schedule 1s and your year-end financial statements. Yes, Sherry.
Yes, just for clarification for me, we were asked to provide the position number, or we chose to provide the position number?
We were asked and okay. Basically told to provide this from the 7As.
Okay. My only concern is that assumptions can be drawn from positions that are inaccurate, because many courts have different functions that require positions. If you do collections as a court rather than a county, you will have positions that will then reflect that you may be at a higher level than a county of your same size, and that would be same if you have any other pilot programs like the delegation facility program. So, you know, it just seems that when we provide those kinds of numbers, we have to understand and should make sure that we educate those people reading it that numbers of employees do not reflect necessarily workload. And that's why I think I would go back to WAFM and the FTE number that is based on workload, because that is an apples to apples, where actual employees on payroll does not, for the various factors that are either special grant funded, collections, and some of those other programs.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments? So we'll move to, I think, a... Yes, Judge Good.
I'm just trying to understand this. I noticed that the total court expenditures exceed the sum of the state funding and the non-state funding. Does that difference, about $188 million in 13-14, reflect the spending of reserves?
Yes.
Is that fair?
Whatever, yeah, whatever, and as well as whatever local revenues you have.
Okay, thank you.
So next we'll get to the issue that Judge Chouteau touched upon that we know is important, and it's this... it's regarding the $100 million augmentation, and Stephen Chang has provided and handed out, and this will be posted to the website at the end of the meeting. Are two scenarios based on the direction of the administration in terms of the WAFM funding approach. So on the front side, it is, I guess it depends on what you want to call the front side, but on one side is a scenario one, which is how the $100 million could be distributed based on WAFM. There's still some, and I want to make the caveat, these are not final in any way. If this were to be adopted, there are new, there's updated information regarding filings, 7A, doesn't include the conversation we're going to have later regarding updates to the small court adjustment. It is just the current method, just for illustration. So please, when I get calls 2 months from now about why a number's changed and why it's not what this in, I'll try to remind them of the call at 10:35 at the Budget Advisory Committee meeting that I said that these were preliminary and just for illustration. So please let your folks know that that's the case. Then on the scenario two, which is important because we felt we needed to see what the blueprint provides, is the blueprint number, the bottom right corner is $291 million, is the amount of the WAFM, if it were to be split over 3 years, that one-third of the $874 million would be $291 million. What would that look like based on the approval of if we were to get our blueprint fully funded, how would that funding be distributed?
So
I'm going to leave it to Judge Earl now to make some comments about this issue.
Well, that's part of the, if you notice from the budget blueprint that the chief put out, that's part of her ask. $353 million next year, $291 would be the trial court portion of that. And so that's why we thought it important to show what that would look like, since that is the chief's advocacy efforts. You know, I don't want to overlook the fact that the governor in his, not only in his budget summary, but also in the budget detail that you saw when Zlotko sent out the updated memo, indicated that the $100 million to support trial court operations would be allocated using WAFA. And that was, I wanted to remind you that in April, last April, when the when we presented WAFM to the council for approval, and they adopted WAFM as the new funding model, one of the recommendations that they adopted was that any new money that was appropriated for general trial court operations would be allocated entirely pursuant to WAFM as well. So that is the given that and the governor's comments in his budget detail, that's the direction that we would be heading, is the $100 million would be allocated all pursuant to WAFM. That could change in May. It could change through negotiations with the legislature, and so the final determinant of that would be what we see when the budget is signed. But I just wanted to get affirmation that that's the direction we're headed unless someone feels differently. Anyone feel differently about that?
For those on the phone, there is no... heads going in, you know, negative, but Judge Chouteau.
Just a question, though. Does the 291 include the $85 million for increase in benefits, or is that in addition to?
These are separate. These are separate.
So benefits, what we really need is 291 plus 85.
Yeah, with 65 is the amount for the truck.
65 or 85?
95 is the, there's a $96 million amount, which is employee COLAs plus benefits.
Okay.
That's what the 96
benefits
is.
Are just 65.
Yeah.
But we need that in addition to the 291. Mm-hmm.
Okay. To fund one-third of the WAFM's gap. Judge Clay?
So, Zlotko, as I understood it, as part of the new formula, any new funding we would pull out matching funding
right.
to take care of that at that and then divide it up under the new formula. So we take another $100 million out,
right.
distribute it under a new formula from the pot that we already have.
Right.
Correct?
And that's what the illustration shows is there is the – if you start from the far right, it shows the value of the 100 net of a redistribution, a reallocation of the matching 100 million to its immediate left, and then the new 100 is that sort of third column from the right.
So the flip side is the additional where we've got the 291. We've done the same thing under that formula.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, are there any questions or comments at this point? So we're running about 5 minutes ahead, so hopefully, are there any other, again, other comments just broadly about the budget? Any guidance and advice that Kurt and I can hear from you folks about, you know, helping our advocacy? John Fitton, yes.
Regarding the earlier point that we were talking about employees and how in the governor's budget, probably through influence from the Department of Finance, it's pointed out that our employees don't. It gives the impression that our employees are compensated at a high level. I think as WAFM has been used here, we can use the studies of WAFM and, in particular, the labor adjustments that are included in WAFM as a justifiable response to that critique. I think the BLS numbers, the comparators, were well thought through, and I think our adjustment there for our workforce can also be used as a defense to that type of critique.
That's a good point. Any other issues? I mean, it's sort of to close. I think it's a better start than last year. But we do see, as I said in the memo, there's, you know, substantial increase. I mean, a $22 billion increase in education over the 11-12 fiscal year. Clearly that demonstrates, you know, a priority for the administration. We want to you know, bring the branch to a, you know, a higher level of priority and a greater level of investment. And I think that for those of you that read or saw any of the press conference, I think the legislative leadership with the pro tem being there was good for us, a good sign of that support. So we know next week's council meeting, there'll be council visits to the legislature. And so we'll hope to continue the momentum that was built from the press conference to help get more branch funds.